sermon for today, the 20th Sunday after Trinity, is Who Has Helped You Along? And written by the Most Reverend John T. Calhoun, Jr., late Metropolitan of the Anglican Catholic Church. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. All Saints' Day is one of the most important feasts in the prayer book calendar. We can tell that is so because All Saints' Day has an octave. That means we don't celebrate only on one day, but for 8 days, a week, counting both ends, November 1st through November 8th. During the octave, we use the collect for All Saints' Day, which we heard a moment ago, and the proper preface for All Saints, which will come up in the service a bit later on if we were having communion, but it won't today. One of the fundamental points of All Saints is to remind us that Christianity is a social religion. There is no such thing as a solitary Christian. The relationship to God that Christianity offers is never just me and Jesus, or even me and the television and Jesus. To be a Christian means to be part of a social organism, a member of a group. The New Testament makes it clear that a Christian is a member of a church, someone who participates actively in the life of the church. Jesus says, we cannot go to heaven unless we eat his flesh and drink his blood. How can we do that without involving other people? Both Jesus and St. Paul say that one has to acknowledge one's faith in Christ in front of other people to be a credible Christian. Almost all the moral teachings of the New Testament involve one's relationship to other people. The Old Testament is not about the relationships between individual human beings and God. It is about God and his chosen people, a nation, Israel. The New Testament is no different. It is about the relationship between God and the new Israel, which is the Holy Catholic Church. All Saints wants to teach us that every Christian always and everywhere is tied together by the Holy Ghost. From God's viewpoint, which is the viewpoint we need to try to adopt as our own, we are just as close to St. Peter and to St. Augustine and to St. Francis and to Archbishop Cranmer and to George Washington and to Pope Francis as we are to the person sitting next to us in the pew. The All Saints Collect reminds us that God has knit us all together into one community and one fellowship, which is the mystical body of Jesus Christ himself. We are not alone. We are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses who are cheering us on as we try to make it to the finish line of the race of life which God has set before us. Today's Gospel gives us a picture of heaven. Again, heaven is not a place where we shall enjoy an individualized relationship to God. Heaven is a group experience. Jesus paints a picture of a wedding feast to which anyone who wants to come can have an invitation. The guests are a motley crew, including both bad people and good people, just as in real life, just as in church. There is one man at the banquet who is not dressed properly, and when he cannot explain himself, the host commands that he be tied hand and foot and tossed out into a darkened alley. We are not supposed to conclude either that God just zaps people at random, or that is one way of dressing that makes God so angry that he'll send you to hell for it. The man who is not dressed properly is not fully committed. He has not accepted God's invitation. He wants to come to the party on his own terms. He is like someone who wears a sweatshirt to a wedding to show that he is his own man and that he will not be bound by boring social conventions. God knows what our real motives are. He is the one unto whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, after all. God wants us to be part of the church, to take our place as saints, because we love him, and we respond to his love for us. There is just no other good reason. Hell is having your own way forever. I think that one very good way to observe all saints is to think about the particular people who have helped you along your Christian path. We say that the saints, which means, again, all Christians, are examples to us. Examples can be good or bad. We often learn more from bad examples than we do from good ones. But it takes some time between today and Wednesday to think about who has helped you along. Those are the particular saints for whom you should give thanks. They are the special manifestations of the reality of the communion of saints in your own life. My mother took me to church and made me into the kind of rock-ribbed Episcopalian she was. I'm grateful for my father, who never tried to stop her. My godfather was an example of great wit and passionate self-destructiveness, and then a kind of redemption. My Presbyterian godmother was as honest and kind and long-suffering as a human being can be. C.S. Lewis helped me understand what the Christian religion really teaches. St. Anthony the Great and the Russian Pilgrim made me pray. My basically atheist New Testament professor in seminary kindled my enduring love of St. Paul. And on it goes. The communion of the saints is not just another moldy church doctrine. It speaks about the reality of God, and he brings people together in the church so we can rub up against each other and in the process approach his kingdom. The saints of God are just folk like me, and I mean to be one too. And I unto God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost be ascribed as is most justly due, all might, power, majesty, dominion, and glory, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.